This is UN and Africa from the United Nations in New York. I'm Daniel Dickinson. In this week's programme, the UN says the political accord in Libya has stalled and industrial transformation remains a very big challenge for Africa. But first, the Lord's Resistance Army rebel group is continuing to cause unspeakable suffering for civilians in Central African countries where it operates, according to the UN Special Representative for the region. François Lucenny Fall, acting head of the UN Regional Office for Central Africa, UNOCA, was briefing Security Council members in New York on the main threats to peace and security. Matthew Wells reports.
The Lord's Resistance Army, or LRA, has terrorised parts of Uganda, South Sudan, the Central African Republic, or CAR, and the Democratic Republic of the Congo, DRC, since the late 1980s. The rebel group has relied on the forced recruitment of child soldiers to attack civilians, and its leader, Joseph Kony, has survived attempts to track him down by an African Union military force since 2012. Mr. Fall said the LRA continued to destabilise and terrorise the region.
LRA attacks against civilian populations continue to cause unspeakable suffering and serious humanitarian consequences. The activities of this group are also linked to poaching and trafficking in wildlife from the sub-region. We must therefore remain united and resolute in our efforts to fight the LRA.
The UNOCA head's words were spoken there by an interpreter. He added that he was concerned at the planned withdrawal by Ugandan forces from the African Union's regional force at the end of this year, which would lead to a security void, which the LRA would fill, he warned. The special representative also cautioned against premature optimism over recent territorial gains made against the West African-based Boko Haram terrorist group.
Its capacity to cause mayhem should not be underestimated. Boko Haram remains a serious threat to regional stability. The activities of Boko Haram have greatly undermined development and exacerbated the economic hardship in the countries of the Lake Chad Basin.
He said the plight of refugees and the internally displaced across the region continue to be a huge cause for concern, and multinational forces needed more timely support to defeat Boko Haram in the long term. Mr. Fall said that the recent extreme violence between two armed groups in CAR were a threat to the country's fragile recovery following successful presidential elections this year. But he said a new national strategy agreed by many of the rival armed groups across the country last month was a promising sign.
The government of the Central African Republic has made important progress by engaging with the armed groups through a formal framework. This resulted in the adoption of a national strategy of disarmament, demobilization, reintegration and repatriation that is supported by 11 of the main 14 armed groups.
The acting UNOCA chief added that pledges of international support made at a major conference in Brussels last month to aid CAR's recovery need to materialise if the country was to solidify peace. Matthew Wells, United Nations.
The political accord in Libya stands firm but is stuck, according to the head of the United Nations support mission in the country, UNSMIL. The accord, which was signed a year ago this month, is aimed at ending conflict in the North African country following the ouster of former President Muammar al-Gaddafi in 2011. Almost 500,000 people have been forced to flee their homes because of ongoing insecurity there. Mayor Coop has been speaking to the UNSMIL chief, Martin Kobler, and began by asking him for his assessment of Libya's current situation.
I think in the last year, the fight against terrorism, this was something which was really successful. The Daesh does not anymore occupy contiguous territory in Sirte. Also in Benghazi, progress was made. And you know the philosophy is that we cannot deal with Daesh, with Al-Qaeda, Ansar al-Sharia. These are organizations which have to be fought militarily. Mm-hmm. Now, this is one of the successes. Yes, there are still Daesh cells in the country, but the business model of the Daesh in Libya is destroyed, namely occupying contiguous territory. On the other side, we have also the consensus of the international community that in principle the way of the Libyan political agreement is without alternatives. But we see after a year of trying to implement the agreement that many things cannot be achieved or were not achieved. There is still no government of national accord endorsed by the House of Representatives, by the parliament in Tobruk. Twice the lists were sent there and they were rejected. Now, the Presidency Council is in Tripoli, yes. But the government of national accord really does not act like a government. Service delivery to the people, food. Particular worry is the economic situation in the country. And it is a little bit sad to see how Libya, as the richest country in Africa, with the richest oil reserves all over Africa, cannot come to grips with these problems. And that many politicians are putting their personal interests above the interests of the nation and the population.
Mr. Kobler, you mentioned the government of national accord, but we also see an interim government in Al Baida city. We also see the Salvation Government that has tried to make a comeback. How does that affect the work of the government of national accord?
Yes, this is one of the problems. The government of national accord does not have authority all over the country. The Central Bank of Libya in Tripoli, they pay the salaries all over the country. However, the government does not yet have authority as a government of national accord over the whole country. That's why the interim government in Beida is working on one side. However, they are not funded, so they are more of kind of symbolic kind of government. And as you mentioned, also the ex-Salvation government tried to make a reappearance. This is worrisome. And this motivates us even more to address the root causes of the country.
Mayor Koop speaking to the UNSMIL chief, Martin Kobler. The transformation from agrarian to industrial-based economies is a very big challenge for countries in Africa, according to the United Nations Industrial Development Organization, UNIDO. The UN agency's role is to eradicate global poverty by assisting developing and middle-income countries in achieving inclusive and sustainable industrial development. Speaking to Liling Huang on the 50th anniversary of the establishment of UNIDO, the Director General there, Li Yong, outlined the key challenges for the continent.
Currently, African countries are facing a very big challenge, especially for the transformation of their economy from agrarian to the industrialized status. This is a very big challenge for Africa region, particularly two-thirds of least developed countries located in Africa. The big challenge is that under the transformation from agriculture to industry, there's lots of requirements like logistics, road, electricity, water supply, and also the training for the regular workers.
In July 2016, the General Assembly proclaimed the third industrial development decade for Africa. It adopted a resolution that called on UNIDO to lead the industrialization process. Why was UNIDO given such a central role?
UNIDO is a sole organization focusing on the industrial development among the UN agencies. UNIDO has the experience for so many years. After 50 years, it accumulated a lot of experience on how to support the industrial development in member countries, especially developing countries. Also, one of the most important issues I really would like to emphasize here is 2030 Development Agenda, SDG Goal 9, is focusing on the inclusive and sustainable industrialization, infrastructure innovation, which is really incorporated UNIDO's mandate, inclusive and sustainable industrial development.
So how does UNIDO promote inclusive and sustainable industrial development in Africa?
Among the most of the operations we support Africa, like agro-industry, also environmental protection, renewable energy, those cover a wider range of the projects in Africa. Most importantly, since 2013, we, based on the request of the leaders of Africa, they would like to have industrialization. So we work together with the World Bank, African Development Bank, and jointly develop a strategy to support a country's industrialization.
Li Yong, the Director General of UNIDO. That brings us to the end of this edition of UN and Africa. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Daniel Dickinson.